I'm Michaela.
I'm Jake.
Hi, I'm Andrew. And we are Sweet Pablo. Awesome.
Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. If not having a website for your band makes you part of the underground, then Sweet Pablo is the next big thing in Cincinnati's subterranean culture. Their musical prowess and play-within-structure aspect brings to mind such artists as Ben Folds or Jonathan Richman. The three members of Sweet Pablo stop by the studio to speak with me and to play a couple songs from their new release, Nudes 2. We spoke about the formation of the band, what it's like to move back to Ohio after living in San Francisco, the final days of Ultra Suede Records, and the sound of bread going through a microphone. Andrew, Michaela, Jake, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks.
Internet-wise, you guys are pretty enigmatic. There's not a whole lot of information on the internet about Sweet Pablo. So tell me a bit about who you are, where you came from, and what is the band all about?
Sweet Pablo is the name of a houseplant. It's kind of a reformulation of a band I had when I lived in San Francisco. That band was called OK Echo. We play a lot of the same songs. It was a philosophic change too. I don't know. I'm young. I'm still trying to figure this all out. But like OK Echo, the band was... It's like a self-referential word, and it's like... It's a phonetic palindrome if you say OK Echo backwards. So that's just one example. It was just a worldview, and I wanted to commercialize myself and my friends and every ounce of energy that I had. And I knew I wanted to make a change. And I made a decision to come back here so I'd be able to, you know, create something with nuance and something interesting, something that didn't just react to what people were buying.
So did you know Michaela and Jake before you came back to Cincinnati?
Definitely.
Okay, so you knew when you were coming back that these were the folks you wanted to hook up with.
Well, it just happened that way. Yeah, Michaela and I played in a band, like two, three bands previously, mm-hmm. When I was living in Cincinnati. Jake and I hadn't really played music together, but we were in touch.
Sure, I feel like if you had stayed in Cincinnati, we definitely would have been jamming.
Definitely, but, yeah. So... You know, I came back and I was like all hyped to meet new people and reconnect with people. And it just worked out. Michaela and I have been playing for like forever.
Yeah, so. I feel like I was a shoo-in.
Yeah, I was definitely going to be like, hey, do you
want to like, yeah, that she's going to be the one.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I was definitely going to be asking you to be in a band.
If you would not have, I would have been like, what did I do?
I wanted to have two drummers. So that if you couldn't make a gig, like we would switch out.
Definitely. So not at the same time, not like some Allman Brothers kind of jam.
I was thinking of that too, because, you know, why does that?
Your new release is called Nudes 2. Mm-hmm. Nudes 1 was what you recorded when you were in San Francisco?
Yeah, we recorded that at Hyde Street Studios.
Okay, so then you recorded this one at Ultra Suede.
During the last few days of Ultra Suede.
Wow, so what was that like?
Oh, it was great. I'd actually recorded there before. We've known John for a while. He's just been involved in our lives and our friends' lives.
He's just super supportive and friendly.
Yes.
He's like a family friend, I feel like, at this point.
It's funny because I spoke with him not too long ago, and he was talking about the last days at Ultra Suede and how there were recording sessions going on, and meanwhile he's going through. He's like, hey, do you need this? Do you need these cables? Can I take these with me? Because he's loading up the truck to move out. It's pretty sad, but...
It is sad.
It was interesting that the way things worked out, those, like you said, those last few weeks.
Yeah, it felt special. Because that was the first place I recorded in a real studio. So, yeah, I mean, it was obviously what I was going to try to do. I was going to ask John if he would engineer and see if we could get an Ultra Suede. And he said yes, so it worked out.
So let's get a listen to some of your music. Which one do you want to play first?
We're going to play Human Error first, which is actually called A Cleansing Rain Now. ¶¶
other folks can maybe see the world with wider eyes, wider thoughts. You and I have a minute left to change the way we look at ourselves. But I don't think that it'll last long.
Aside from the three of you, who else performed on this album?
We had a bunch of people perform on this album, actually. I had just gotten back from selling merch for Y, Yoni Wolf's band. And so I met Doug McDermott, and I asked him if he would fill in on some songs, and he said yes. So he played bass on Human Error, Don't Make Me Feel Bad, and Ohio / Ava. We also had Yemi play, who I met through the Tossed Salad charity fundraiser for the Free Store Food Bank, organized in part by my roommate, Alessandro. Who else do we have? My dad, Peter Boylan, played trumpet.
Tell me a bit about the songwriting process itself, how you put these songs together, because there's a lot of layers to them.
Oof. I make like so many demos.
Yeah, there's a lot of change over time.
Yeah.
Like almost every practice, we're adding something or making something different, which is exciting. People have thought before that we're improvising.
Really?
Yeah, which is interesting because I've always felt we're like jazz in a sense, jazz rock. And it's interesting that people pick up on that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we are like improvising a lot of the time because we've played these songs. We're just having fun with them. Seeing where we can take them.
It's a form that we can improvise within.
Yeah.
A lot of rhythms are improvised, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to chart the timeline of songwriting, I probably write it on guitar, make demos and I write all the parts, and then I bring it to a band and realize that like I shouldn't try to do everything myself, and the band, we jam on it and usually play it live at some point, and then after playing it live for a few months, it usually becomes something else. By that time, we've probably already done a studio version of it.
Yeah.
And then we have a finished song.
So it seems like you create sort of the kernel of the song, and then the other collaborators come in and sort of embellish it and help it evolve. And then you, like you said, you have a framework that you can then improvise within.
Right.
How different are your live performances, do you feel, from what you've put down digitally as your album?
So Nudes 1, I did at Hyde Street Studios, and I wanted everything to be correct because the album I did previous to that, Archipelago Island, was recorded at home, and so I didn't care. I just like threw in a digital drum machine or like a VST synth or like whatever, you know. So this time I just wanted everything to be quote unquote correct. So all the arrangements are extremely illustrated in writing.
No margin for improvisation or no margin for error.
Not as much. Although those songs have changed. We completely changed those songs. So like this happens consistently where we make a record, play it live for a few months, and the songs evolve because we see how people respond. So yeah, you might extend a section. That happens a lot. You know, like people like to get into a groove. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm writing, it's just like, oh, we're going to completely switch.
Yeah.
Going to go to halftime.
I said that. Now it's time.
Yeah. Now we're going to do something else.
Mm-hmm. So the music has an organic quality to it. What about the lyrics? They feel very stream of consciousness. Do those evolve over time as well?
Sometimes I will do that. I know in A Cleansing Rain, in the live performance, during the kind of break or the lesson of the song where I'm speaking directly to the person who the song is about, I extrapolate on what I was saying there to make it more human. Like before I would say, I wish I hadn't tried so hard to be cool. Now it's like, I wish I hadn't tried so hard to be cool for you. It's more conversational. I think maybe once I realize what the song is about more, yeah, might change the lyrics just slightly, because I think a lot of songwriting for me is like communicating with myself things that I can't say to myself yet.
It's interesting that you have that sense of self-awareness. Like you said earlier, you're young and still figuring it out. When I'm old and I'm still figuring it out too. I mean,
it is self-awareness, but it's only self-awareness because of self-repression. Like I was repressing something, only aware of it later.
Do you also feel that your performances change depending on the venue and the crowd?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm a full believer in just being super present, because I saw Jonathan Richman and I was just blown away by how present he was. And each venue is different. Each crowd is different. At this level, we almost know who's going to come. Recently, we've been performing where Jake sits on a ladder, and we also like put bread through microphone.
Fun dad gimmicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're interactive.
How do you put bread through a microphone?
Come to the show on September 14th at the Comet, featuring Ficus and Toothlers of Fang.
Come see the bread go through the mic.
That's a perfect segue. I was going to ask you about what shows you have coming up.
Yeah, that's the one. After that, I don't know. We'll see what comes up, but we're looking to tour again in January. We did one in June. Well, we went to Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, Montreal, New York. It was special. Yeah. I'd never been to Montreal before and never played in New York before. And
is it hard to sing all your songs in French?
It was cool. We played in the Francophone scene. You know, there's like a Francophone scene and an Anglophone scene, and we were lucky enough to, like, my friend is part of the Francophone scene. So it was just cool to be a part of that. The language barrier wasn't really a thing.
But yeah, everyone there knows English, so people around us were nice to us.
The energy there is different. I feel like everybody is super nice and just wants to help.
Coming back to home, you mentioned the Comet. What other venues do you have that feel like home to you, that you really look forward to playing in?
I feel like one of the first shows that I really felt it was Urban Artifact. We played that show with Ficus. Mm-hmm. We wore these translucent, like, science goggles that I got at Mendelton's in Dayton, which is like this giant junk store. And we got loose with one of the songs, and we played Pump Up the Jam. So yeah, I think Urban Artifact. We've only played Motor once. I wouldn't consider it home, but it has like the best sound. So.
So is there a connection there with Ficus because you're both named after houseplants?
That's right. I want to do a show at like The Grange or AJ Ron, like with all plant bands, because we got like what? Blossom Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Ficus, Sweet Pablo.
I'm sure if we went digging, we could find several.
I'll think of it later.
Botanical bands.
I know there are more.
If you're a plant named band, hit us call up. In. Wait, this is a podcast.
I'm guessing there's more music in your head ready to come out. Is there going to be another recording project soon?
Definitely. Yeah. We'll see what I can get done because I have some things coming up in the next few months. But ideally, I'd have another CD to sell on tour in January.
All right. We'll listen to one more song from Sweet Pablo. What do you want to play next?
This song is called Don't Make Me Feel Bad. It's about not making me feel bad. It's actually about people who just try to make you feel bad because they're bored.
Well, Andrew, Michaela, Jake, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course.
Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
1, 2, 3, 4.
She's fitting to stay.
My thanks to Andrew Boylan, Michaela Adams, and Jake Kolsar of Sweet Pablo for stopping by. The album Nudes 2 is available from Bandcamp.com. You can find a link to that and to more information about the band and their upcoming shows at our website, wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode was recorded by Josh Elstro. The in-studio performances were also produced by Josh, and the interview portion was produced by me, Jim Nolan. And as always, thanks for listening. Until next time.